I'm going to teach you today about what I just said, how to pray effectively. And what I want to do is I'm going to go line by line, precept upon precept. I am going to teach concerning these areas. It's going to be very simple. It's not complicated. The other day I was talking to someone who was believing and standing for an amazing miracle that they were believing God for. And when we got through talking, the person said to me, made this statement, and said, you know, I just finally got back to trusting God in his faithfulness just like a little child. And I told her, I said, that's the key, because a lot of times we can get so much knowledge, nothing wrong with that, because knowledge increases strength, it says in Proverbs 24. Knowledge is good, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But sometimes we can get so technical about things that we just forget about just simply trusting God and his faithfulness. Just like a little child trusts you as parents that you're going to provide for them. Sometimes we almost get into performance and say, well, if I do these three things, these eight steps, if I say this, I do that, you know, okay, God, is that the formula? Is that the criteria that I have for this moment? No, the criteria is, yes, the Word of God, and that's what I'm going to show you, to teach you the Word of God, but pray the Word of God. Understand how to use the Word of God and how to use it effectively, but you've got to trust like a little child. You know, you can't think that it's by your own goodness or your own works and things like that. No, it's by grace that you're saved through faith, but it's the grace of God applied with the Word of God in our lives that makes the difference, okay? So it's nothing that you try to make happen. It's you trusting God very simply like a little child, and then God makes it happen. Are you hearing me? God makes it happen. Prayer, it brings forth into my circumstance, my situation, a divine intervention of the power of God that can change that circumstance no matter how big or how small. So when I pray, that doesn't change anything. When I pray to God, then God changes everything. God turns it around. So my prayer is that I'm praying to God, and then the power of God is released because of his word. And today, especially, very important we understand, like I said, how to pray effectively, because we see this whole world right now that literally is around us is gripped in the claws of fear. It's like fear, like a spider, like a black widow spider is taking and weaving a web, trying to catch as many people as possible in that, the web of fear. And a lot of times what we see is we see a lot of panic disorder that is happening right now also. So when we look at this, we're supposed to say, okay, how do we as Christians, how are we supposed to act? Well, number one, we need to understand our identity. We need to understand who we are. The Bible says we are the light of the world. You know that old saying, man, we need somebody to shed some light on this. Well, we are the ones in the body of Christ. We are the light of the world. We're not becoming the light. Jesus said you are the light of the world. And we're not in any way, shape, or form insensitive about the situation that is going on around us. We're not making light of the seriousness of coronavirus or anything that's happening right now. What we're doing is that we are putting our focus, even though we're using common sense, we're washing our hands, we're doing the things that we're supposed to do, yet at the same time, you and I must trust and stand on the Word of God so that people can see that we have a hope. People right now that have no hope, they need to see people that have a hope. People that are full of fear, they need to see people that are being bold as a lion. The righteous are bold as a lion. And they need to see people rejoicing and praising in the midst of their den of lions and trusting God. They need to see people that in this furnace that we're standing, even if the devil heats it up seven times hotter, that they're standing and believing the Word of God. We will not bow our knee to any plague. We will not bow our knee to the things that the kingdom of darkness brings. We will only bow our knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we bow our knee to. Remember what Jesus told us about living in this world. He said in John 16, 33, did I hear y'all shout? No, come on. I'm gonna do that one more time. Y'all better shout in your house. You better get it out right now. Okay, John 16, 33. Got it. Listen to what Jesus said. I have told you these things so that in me you may have, listen to this, perfect peace. See, where does peace come from? Peace is not something you conjure up. Peace is not something you can buy, even though people try to do it through drugs, alcohol. They try to do it in all kinds of ways. Peace is a person. It is the person of Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. So he said, in me, you will have perfect peace. In the world that you're living in, you will have tribulation, distress, and suffering. But here's what he says. But be courageous, be confident, be undaunted. And the word undaunted there means this: don't be intimidated or discouraged by your difficulties, the dangers, or the disappointments around you. Don't let that happen to you. That's where we put our trust in God. So he said, but be courageous. Sounds like when God was talking to Joshua, when Joshua was getting ready to lead the children of Israel. He said, Joshua, don't be afraid, fear not. He said, but be courageous, be of good cheer. So he said, but be courageous. And then he says this, be filled with joy. Wow. Now you got to understand something about joy. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It only comes by and through the Holy Spirit. Happiness comes when things around us temporarily happen the way we want them to happen, go the way we want them to go. And so if everything goes the way I want it to go, then I'm happy. But if everything does not go the way I wanted it to go, then I'm unhappy. So in the world today, depending on what's happening, what's going on around you, you could be on a proverbial roller coaster with your emotions up and down. I'm happy, I'm unhappy. I'm happy, I'm unhappy. You know the great thing about joy? Because joy is something that's in us that are born again through Jesus Christ. Joy, praise God, even mourning may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. And joy is what is produced when I put my trust in God. Joy rises up on the inside of me because it is a fruit of the Spirit, and it manifests itself when I begin to meditate on the Word and I look at the Word and say, praise God, this is what God's Word says. All of a sudden, joy, like a primer on a pump, joy starts rising up on the inside of me. And the more I meditate, the more I hear myself speaking the Word of God and saying the Word of God, all of a sudden, joy begins to rise up on the inside of me, and it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger because my joy is in Jesus. My joy is in His Word, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. And joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And the more I look at what God says and I put my trust in Him, all of a sudden in the midst of my trial, my tribulation, my circumstances, joy begins to come up. Man, and all of a sudden it just consumes me. You know what? One thing I love about that, there is no such word as unjoy. Unhappy, temporary, out here, joy is in here. There's no such word as unjoy. There's no manifestation of unjoy. Yeah, my emotions can be sad and I can grieve. I've been through tragic things and things have happened to me and I have grieved and cried. But after that, it's the joy of the Lord that helped me get back into that position and place. So Jesus said this. He said, but be courageous. He said, in the world you have tribulation, distress, suffering, but be courageous. Be filled with joy. For why? I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished and my victory abiding. Man, that's a key scripture there. My victory is abiding. Look what the Apostle Paul told us about these last days in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verse 1. He said this, but understand this, that in the last days, that's the days that we're living in, and I believe we're living in the last of the last of days. But he said, but understand this, that in the last days, dangerous times of stress and trouble will come, difficult days that will be hard to bear. But praise God, I've got somebody that bears me up. I got somebody that takes me through, walks me through. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. His rod and his staff comfort me, and here's what I love. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and he doesn't have to use Uber or DoorDash or anything else to get it to me. He can get it to me just the way he needs to get it to me. But let me just say this. Every time I look in the Word, man, that is my table. That is my table. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I told our staff the other day, so many people sit down at the table and get their eyes on the presence of the enemy instead of what's on the table. You got to concentrate on what's on the table. And if you want to know what's cooking in the oven, man, just read it right here in the Word of God. Listen, everything out there right now is bad news. This is good news. This is the good news. This is what I focus on. So here's our question. How then are we the believers to handle these times or any time of trouble and anxiety? Let me put it this way. Life is fragile and life gets crazy. Handle by prayer. Handle it through and by prayer. Everything. Handle everything with prayer. Listen to Philippians. This is our scripture we've been standing on. Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 6 through 7. Be not anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance, situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God, and the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. But now here's a key. Watch this. He said, okay, don't be anxious about things. Instead, do this. And that's your decision. You have to do that. You can stay over here in anxiety and worry and fear, or you can transfer that and do what he says, but in everything, no matter how big, no how small, in every circumstance, every situation, by prayer, we found out that that word prayer, the first word there, prayer, means worship. We talked about that last week. Very important. If you haven't heard these messages, go back on the podcast and listen to them. You need to get them down in your spirit. So when we talked about prayer, we talked about worship. And today we're going to talk about those words where it says supplication or petition, which that's what prayer is. I come into his presence with worship. Now, why do you want to worship? Because you want to refocus. When your mind is or your heart is weighed down with fear and worry and anxiety, okay, you've got to get your eyes off the circumstance and get your eyes on God. You've got to get your eyes on the Word of God. Meditate on these things. So to petition God means to bring your prayer, your petition directly to God and knowing that he is your heavenly Father. Now, number one, first of all, your petition must be based upon God's promises, his promises. Why do I need to have scripture before I start bringing my specific request to him? Okay, my petition and my request needs to have a foundation that I'm standing on when I come before God. And the reason is because he watches over his word. Listen to Jeremiah, the 1st chapter, verse 12. The Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am actively watching over my word to fulfill it. I'm watching over my word to fulfill it. So what he's looking for is this. When I pray, am I standing and bringing, first of all, the first thing I'm bringing to him, am I bringing to him his word? Remember what he says? He said, put me in remembrance of my word. Not that he doesn't remember his word. That's for us. In other words, what he wants us to do is to find his promise and find his word. Listen to this. He said in John, Jesus said this in John 15, 7. If you abide in me, now if you have been born again and received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that means you are abiding in Jesus. And Jesus is abiding in you on the inside here. So he said, if you abide in me, now watch this, and my words, okay? You can say, well, I love Jesus with all my heart. That's great. But your prayer is going to be answered based upon his word, okay? Because a lot of people say, just pray in generalities. Jesus, help me. Lord Jesus, please help me right now. Listen, Jesus will help you, but everything he does, and it says so right here. This is not my quote. This is Jesus quoting this, and he said, everything I say comes from the Father. If you abide in me, you're born again, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. Now, when he says you will ask what you will desire, notice that the word abiding and the desire is going to line up in harmony together. In other words, when I know the word of God, the things that I desire, if I desire healing in my body, if I desire financial need to be met, if I desire protection wherever I go and whatever I do, then it's got to line up with the word. Because when I see the word, that is going to be my desire. And then he says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, because the desire and the word are going to be one in the same. I'm going to come into agreement with the word, and then I'm going to make my specific request. Watch this. If my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire according to the will of God, according to the word of God, and it shall be done for me. It shall be done for you. So what I've got to do is I've got to know that I'm born again, that I'm coming before God and I'm bringing his word. God, this is your word. This is what you said. Nothing wrong with that, because some people say, well, wait a minute. Shouldn't I humble myself? Absolutely. You're humbling yourself when you come before God and bringing his word and saying, I can do this. You know, you're saying, praise God, this is your word. You know what the Bible says in Hebrews? It says this. It says, come before his throne with all outspokenness. That word means this. Come before his throne of grace and mercy in the time of need. Come with all outspokenness. That word in the Greek means this. Come boldly before my throne. Come boldly. God wants you to come boldly. Bring the word to him. Come boldly before his throne of grace and mercy. So remember, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You'll ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Well, Pastor, you know, I've heard this and I've been taught this. And we're going to kick over some sacred cows right now. Okay? Well, I've been told sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no. Sometimes it may be maybe. You just really don't know, do you? Absolutely, you know 100%. And let's read the Word of God to you, okay? Here's the thing. I'm going to bring the Word of God to you. If you want to argue with somebody, don't shoot me an email. Go to God. He's the one that wrote this. I did not. Listen to what he says. For the Son of 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, 19 and 20. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among us by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For, verse 20, for all the promises of God, all the promises of God, all the promises, all the promises, every single promise in the Old Testament and the New Testament, if they're promises, they're mine. Because why? The Bible says all Scripture is profitable. All Scripture. And so we're under the new covenant, thank God for it. But there are promises, like in the book of Psalms, that are Scripture blessings, Scripture promises to every single one of us. Listen to this. He said, for all the promises of God in him, in Jesus. And who is Jesus? John, the first chapter. Jesus is the Word of God. The Word became flesh. So you can read it like this. For all the promises of God in the Word are yes, and in the Word, amen, to the glory of God. Because that's what's going to happen. It's going to bring glory and honor to God when you stand upon the Word, you pray, and you come to Him in faith, believing. It's going to bring glory and honor to God when you receive what you're believing for. Okay? So all the promises, let's settle that right now. Every promise is yes. It says right here, not a one of them are no. God doesn't say no. Listen, when a prayer is not answered, it's mainly because, or could be, that I'm living in sin. See, if I'm out of the will of God and not obedient, then until I pray the prayer of repentance and get my life in alignment, back in alignment with God, my prayer's not going to be answered. He's not going to answer the prayers of disobedient children. I mean, think about when your children are disobedient. You still let them go wherever they want to go and do whatever they want to do? No. You maybe put them in timeout. You take privileges away from them. Why? Because you understand that in that disobedience, they're opening themselves up to the devil, and the devil, if he can, will kill them and take them out. And that's the reason it's so important for us to understand that when I'm out of the will of God, I'm on the devil's playground. He won't do anything immediately. He's just going to wait and set me up until one day he just tries to take me out. And so it's important to be in the will of God. If you're not in the will of God and you're living in sin, you need to come, it's the prayer of repentance. God, forgive me of all my sin. Father, forgive. And then get in alignment. And as soon as you do, because the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive you, as soon as you do, then you say amen. And then you start praying according to the Word of God. You'll see your prayers answered then because God forgives you. The other place where the Bible does say that prayers are not answered is in James, the fourth chapter, and that is when people are praying for prosperity, but all their prosperity is just for them, and they're never going to give, they're never going to share, they're not going to do anything. Those prayers are not answered. That's what the Bible says in James, the fourth chapter. You can see it right there. He said, you have not because you ask not, and you don't receive because you only ask for your own selfishness. And there's nothing wrong with us asking for praying and believing God for toilet paper or things that are necessities. There's nothing wrong with if you have to have transportation, have a car and things like that. It's when your prayer is just focused 100% on you and you're going to consume everything on yourself. That those prayers like that are not answered, okay? That's the reason God delivered us from selfishness. So listen to Joshua 21:45. Not a word failed of any good thing that the Lord has spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Wow. All came to pass. Not one word failed. God's word does not fail. That is the one thing that God cannot do because God does not change. He cannot fail. Amen? So if there's a failure somewhere, it's with us. It's not with him. Because he can't fail and he's faithful to his word. So how do we pray effectively? That means that when we say pray effectively, we've got to understand that there is power in prayer. Listen to this. In James, the third chapter, verse 16, it says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Man, the effective, effectual, fervent, passionate, on fire, prayer of a righteous man avails much. So that means what we're teaching, our prayers must be based 100% on the Word of God. All right? The number one prayer right now that we need to pray, and by the way, you don't need to wait until there's a crisis to pray this prayer. This is a prayer that we need to pray in this day and time that we're living in. We need to pray this every single day. And I've got it in my notes. And I'm going to show you how to personalize it. I'm going to show you the way I pray it and have prayed it for right at 50 years now of walking with the Lord, and how the Lord has kept me and my wife for 38 years. And so I want you to look at this in Psalms 91. I want you to turn over to Psalms 91, and I'm going to show you exactly how to pray this for yourselves. I know some of you out there say, well, I already know how to pray it. But you know what? Isn't it amazing that God never changes his word, because it never gets old? It's manna every single day. I keep reading through the Bible every single year. I do my daily Bible reading. I go through the Bible every year. We have it on our website daily with some of my notes and stuff. But every single time that I read this, I realize that, man, this is incredible. This is mine. Every time I read it, because his word is alive. It's spiritually alive. It builds me up. It strengthens me. If I read it over and over again, if I only have one scripture, it's enough to take me wherever I need to go. Listen to Psalms 91, and you'll see it in your notes. I put little lines there so you can personalize it. I'm going to personalize it myself, and then you can put your name in there. Okay, let's do this together. You put your name in when I put my name in. Pastor Al and Tava lives in the shelter of the Most High. Now, you put your name in there. You put your family in there. Pastor Al and Tava and the family. Here's the way I pray. Pastor Al and Tava and our family, our children and grandchildren, and our congregation, and our staff, and the body of Christ. That's how I pray it. Lives in the shelter of the Most High, and will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Lives in the shelter. You know, I went through college playing golf and basketball, and finished on a golf scholarship. And many times when we would be out on the golf course and playing, a storm would come up so fast that there would be lightning, thundering, rain would start. But on the golf course, they have these shelters that you get under to protect you from the elements. And so many times we would just run, or if we're in the golf cart, we drove the golf cart, and we would get under those shelters. And I never forget that every time we got under the shelter, we'd go, oh, man. And the lightning was popping everywhere, and we were just sitting there and just believing for us to be protected. But the shelter was there to shelter us. The elements were all around us, but once we got into the shelter, we were being protected by that shelter. Well, here's the key. The key is this. Pastor Al lives in the shelter. Lives. He's constantly our shelter of the Most High. And once the shelter is there, then you can kind of rest. Man, I'm protected by God. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is Pastor Al and Tavis and our children and grandchildren and congregation and the body of Christ. He alone is Pastor Al's refuge, Pastor Al's place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue Pastor Al and Tava from every trap and protect Pastor Al and Tava and his children and grandchildren and the congregation and the body of Christ. He protects us from deadly disease. Now, let me tell you what I do there. When I get to that place, I say, because you notice in Philippians, the fourth chapter, when we were reading over in verse 6, it talks about in thanksgiving. Father, I thank you right now that you're protecting us from this deadly disease. Father, I thank you that you're protecting us from coronavirus. I thank you that you're protecting us from everything in this world that will try to come upon our bodies and manifest itself in it. Father, I thank you. And you say, you mean to tell me, Pastor, I have to do that every single day? Well, remember when Jesus taught his disciples, when the disciples came and said, Jesus, teach us to pray? How did he teach them to pray? Just like we're going through here. First is worship. Our Heavenly Father, your kingdom come. And there's worship. Then he makes this statement. Down in the prayer, he says this. Give us this day our daily bread. Now remember, he's teaching them how to pray. So if it was only give us this day or give us bread when it runs out, or give us monthly bread, or give us semi-annually bread, or yearly bread. He didn't teach that. Because a lot of times we don't pray until there's a crisis. And most of the times when we don't pray, we're not in the Word, we're not listening to the Word of God. Most of the times our faith is not prepared and ready for the crisis or the circumstance that comes. And then we try to start building our house. And you can't build your house in the middle of a hurricane, except for the mercy and the compassion of God. Oh, man. I cannot tell you how many times that I have come before the throne of grace and mercy in time of need and thank God for his compassion and his mercy. And there's been many times that I said, Lord, I've been so busy. I know I hadn't prayed. I haven't prayed. It's not by works, but yet at the same time, I know my faith is not where it needs to be. And so the Lord has compassion on me, has had compassion on me so many times. But you know what I do? I get myself, I know what I need to do. I need to fill myself up with the Word of God. I get into the Word of God. I start meditating the Word of God. I don't watch television at a time when I'm going through a crisis. I get into the Word of God. I mean, I meditate. I get into the Word of God. I'm speaking the Word of God. I'm declaring the Word of God. And another thing that happens is when you're reading the Word of God, read it out loud. Let your ears hear it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So listen to this. So I thank God. I said, I thank you that you protect us from deadly disease. So I pray this on a daily, yes, on a daily basis. Yes, there's times that I oversleep, I jump up, I got a meeting, I run to that meeting, and then I pray on the way to the meeting. I'll pray during the day. But my prayer time is all day. All day I'm having conversations with God. All day I'm praying about everything. Every meeting I'm going through, I'm praying about it. Every day I'm praying. Even when I go to lunch, and this has happened so many times to me, even when I go to lunch and I'm praying, I'm saying, okay, Lord, this is where in my, well, I shouldn't say in my heart, this is where in my stomach right now I feel like I want to go eat. And so, but Lord, if there's someplace else that you want me to go, if I'm on assignment, and that has happened so many times, God will redirect me and have me to go somewhere else, and lo and behold, I'll meet somebody in there and get to minister to them, and I've led many people to the Lord just that way and pray for people. So let's go over this real quick. For he will rescue Pastor Al, your name, your family. He will rescue Pastor Al and Tava from every trap and protect from the deadly disease. He will cover Pastor Al and Tava and our children and grandchildren. He will cover Pastor Al and Tava with his feathers. I was raised up in the country, and if you ever go to what we call the hen yard, if you ever go to where the chickens and the roosters are, you'll see sometimes when there's thunder, the little biddies will run underneath the feathers, and it's amazing. The mother hen will open up her feathers like that, her wings, and then the biddies will run in and drop down, and guess what? You can't even see them under there. She sits right down on them to protect them. And that's exactly what it's saying right here, that you've got to see, that's so vitally important for you to understand. So he tells us again, he says, he will cover us with his feathers, he will shelter with his wings. His faithful promises are Pastor Al and Tava's armor and protection. You hear that? His faithful promises are Pastor Al's armor and protection. That's what you need to speak over your children and over your lives every single day. Pastor Al and Tava will not be afraid of the terrors of night. Praise God, I have sweet sleep. You know, the Bible says, David wrote, he said, I lay down and slept and the Lord sustained me. A lot of people can lay down, but can you sleep? That's where you've got to understand that fear will torment you. God's not giving you a spirit of fear. Just rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Use your authority. He said, Pastor Al, verse 6, Pastor Al does not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 may fall at Pastor Al and Tava's side, though 10,000 are dying around Pastor Al and Tava, these evils will not touch me. Praise God. Just open your eyes. This is the Word of God. This is not me. This is the Word of God, folks. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. if Pastor Alan Tava makes the Lord his or her refuge, if Pastor Alan Tava makes the Most High their shelter, no evil will conquer Pastor Alan Tava. No plague will come near our home. For God will order his angels to protect Pastor Alan Tava wherever we go. They will hold us up in their hands so that we won't even hurt our foot on a stone. And Pastor Alan Tava will trample upon lions and cobras. And Pastor Alan Tava will crush fierce lions and serpents under his feet. That's the powers of darkness. That's the kingdom of darkness. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. Father, I love you with all my heart. You promised to rescue me out of this. You will rescue me because I've set my love upon you and you set your love upon me. God says, I protect those who trust in my name. God, some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but I will trust in the name of my God, the living God, the only God. I trust in you, Father. I don't trust in the things that I can do, but I trust in you, in Jesus' name. He said, when they call upon me, I will answer. Thank you, Father. I have your word. Here it is right here. I'm calling upon you right now, and you will answer. I will be with them in trouble. Thank you, Father, for being with me in this trouble, in this situation, this circumstance. I thank you that you're with me. It is amazing how people think and how they've been taught in tradition. You say, how they've been taught in tradition. Well, you know, it's like when we get ready to get in a car or we get on an airplane and we're praying nervously and we're saying, Father, I need you to be with me on this trip. As if he's not with you everywhere. Father, I need you to be with me when I'm on this airplane. As if he's just going to be with you on the airplane, then he's going to get off and leave you alone wherever else you're going to go. That's tradition. That is not the word of God. The word tells me in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, he will never leave me nor forsake me. He lives right here. Wherever I go, he goes. So when I pray, I said, Father, I thank you that you're with me on this airplane. I thank you that you're with me on this trip. I thank you that you're protecting me and keeping me safe. I thank you, Father God, that you're going to direct the pilots. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to see that everything on this airplane works properly. And I thank you, Lord, that you're giving angels charge over us to bear us up in all of our ways, that we will go safely to our destination in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So he said, He said, I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. Father, I thank you in this issue, this situation, you're rescuing me. I thank you. I thank you. I praise you and thank you that you're rescuing me. And I thank you, Father God, right here, that you promised to honor us. Lord, the honor goes to you. But Father, the honor comes when you rescue us and people see it, but we give that honor back to you. I always give the honor back to God, all the time. And then listen to this, I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation. Now we have salvation, we have deliverance, we have healing. But notice, Father, you said that you would reward me with long life. Long life, you promised that. So Father, I thank you, I rebuke the spirit of death. I rebuke this disease. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus because you promised to satisfy me with long life. And I just thank you for it. And every single day, Lord, I thank you for long life. I thank you for long life. I thank you for long life. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that which rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. When are you going to start condemning the words of fear and worry and anxiety? When are you going to start condemning and speaking to the words that are contrary to the word of God that's coming into your mind, coming into your head from the kingdom of darkness? The Bible calls it the fiery darts of the wicked one. Oh, you're not going to make it. It's out. It's over with. You're going down. You're going to die. You might as well give up. You're not going to be able to do this and do that. I know what the word God says that, but you're not going to be able to do it. I condemn those words. I rebuke those words. I cast those words down in the name of Jesus. Because God said, I would have long life. So no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every single day, I thank you. I declare no weapon formed against me can prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. How about healing? How do I pray for healing? Psalms 103, verse 5. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord. See, everything starts out, praise. Bless, affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits. Praise God. Greatest benefit package in the world. Who forgives all of your sins, who heals all of your diseases. I cannot tell you how many times that I personally have had to stand on this. And I've said, Father, I thank you that you forgive all my sins, all my iniquity. I thank you by the blood of Jesus. I'm cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And then I say, Father, I thank you. You're the one who heals all my diseases. I thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. This issue that I'm facing, I thank you. It is healed. It is healed by the stripes of Jesus. I thank you that Jesus took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses in his body. Praise God, Father, I thank you. And praise you right now. I'm just going to have a praise dance. I'm going to get up and I'm just going to say, Father, I praise you right now. I praise you. You may not be able to get up and dance, but you can dance in here. See yourself dancing and praising God. He said, who heals all, how many? All your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. That means destruction. That means depression. He redeems your life, who crowns you lavishly with loving kindness and tender mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your mercy, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the soaring eagle. Praise God. Father, I thank you that you're satisfying my years with good things. I thank you and I pray this, Father, you're satisfying my children and my grandchildren with good things. I thank you that you're satisfying the congregation of Covenant Love Church with good things. And I thank you that you're healing every disease in the name of Jesus. I thank you that you're renewing their youth like they're soaring like the eagles in Jesus' name. I pray, Father God, that they will run and not be weary. They will walk. That's your promise, Lord. You promised that we would run and not be weary. We would walk and not faint. Just like when Pastor Chris opened this program up and said he would not tell who won the tournament. Well, when the parent beats the adult child, you let everybody know it. I am the champion. Because my youth is renewed. Yes. Like the eagles. Glory to God. Listen to this. How about provisions? Listen to this. This is my last scripture. Philippians 4:19. And my God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need until all, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not according to what's happening at Wall Street. Not according to what's going on around us. My God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now notice, you can't take that out of context. Because in context, going all the way back to verse 13, it talks about those who give. So if I'm a giver, which I am, Tave and I, we are, if I'm a giver and continue to give, then I come before the Lord, Father, this is my need. And you promised to liberally supply all of our need. So Father, here's my word that I'm bringing before you. And then I'm making my specific requests. Now, by the way, next Sunday, I'm going to show you how to specifically request and petition according to the word of God of what you have need of. And I will guarantee you, according to the word of God, that you'll get those prayers answered every single time. And I'm going to tell you this, when you learn how to do that and you're walking in that, people around you are going to be watching and you will get their attention. And praise God, that's one of the greatest testimonies. And things. People say, what are you going to do about this? And I said, it's already taken care of. What do you mean it's already taken care of? Well, I've prayed. Well, I know you've prayed, but I said, okay, there is no but to that. It is yes and amen, okay? And that's what we're going to teach you. But let me real quickly. Now, don't go anywhere, okay? Don't go anywhere. So let me just teach you right now how to be born again. If you're watching us and you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, or maybe you've backslidden and gotten away from God, here's what you do according to the Word. You say, I need to be born again. I need to receive Jesus Christ into my heart. I need to be a part of the family of God. Pastor, how do I do that? The Bible says this. If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, He came to this earth and died for us on a cross, and you confess Jesus as the Lord of your life, you shall be saved. You shall be saved. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you repent of your sin and ask God to forgive you, if you've known God, you've backslid, but you repent of your sin and ask God to forgive you, the Bible says He's faithful and just, 1 John, faithful and just to forgive you. So if you want to receive Jesus as the Lord of your life, pray this with me right now. Father God, I thank you right now for your love for me. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven. And so, Father, that you could come to live on the inside of me. I repent of all my sin, and I ask your forgiveness. In Jesus' name. Today, unashamedly, I confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Praise God. My friend, if you believe that and pray that with me, the Bible says you are born again. Jesus came to live on the inside of you. Now you get to pray and watch your prayers get answered the way I was teaching you to pray. If you receive Jesus as the Lord of your life, wherever you may be, on some places there's a little button that you can push that you raise your hand to pray with me. Or if not, just go up in the chat and say, I just prayed with Pastor Al. I just prayed with him to receive Jesus. Or I just repented of my sin and God has forgiven me. You need to testify that. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. We welcome you to the kingdom of God. And like I said, we got a lot of great things coming up on how we can help you grow. And we're going to do it online. But right now, we want to receive our tithes and our offerings right now. There is a place right there on our website that you can give. You can go up on our website. There's a place to give. Also coming up on the screen is text to give. And that's with your phones. You can text to give also right there. Or you can mail it in. Our office, you can go to the website, scroll all the way down, and you'll find the address, 420 Dunn Road, right here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, 28312. You can scroll down and you'll have the address there. And I want to encourage you. You know, this is a big change for us because we're all usually sitting here in the auditorium and we bring our tithes and our offerings, and many of us give. Many of you do give online. But at the same time, I want to encourage each and every one of you. Nothing has changed here. Our staff, all the missionaries and missions that we support, all the things that we are doing, we are actually still doing those things. That has not stopped. Our budget is still right here the same. And remember, this is where God placed you. This is your church. The Covenant Love Church is your church. And I want to encourage you during this time, and this is actually in the Bible in so many places, the little widow woman who was going through famine and didn't have anything, God sent her the Word. The prophet came, Elijah came, and sent her the Word. She was obedient to the Word, and she sowed what she had. She gave, and then God brought miracles. It's all through the Bible. Don't let the enemy, just cause we are live streaming and social distance, don't let that stop your giving. Sow seed into the kingdom of God. Because if we stop our giving, then, man, so many things will have to come to a stop. And we don't want to do that. We need to keep this word going out. We need to be able to keep doing things on a daily basis and feeding people and getting them the word of God. And by the way, guess what? The first time we did live streaming, 25 people got born again. Folks, wow, 25 people got born again. And just like we're doing right now, 25 people born again. And so let's keep this going. The devil may have, you know, stopped temporarily us from coming together. Like Paul said, I would have come to you, but the enemy hindered me. But praise God, we're going to get back together. But at the same time, don't forget your church. Don't forget your tithe. Don't forget your giving. Father, let me just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for our congregation. And Lord, as they give right now, I pray that you'll meet every single need in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father God, according to your word that we just read, you will meet every need in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.